The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. And yeah, we're still standing here. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, and the news is brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Great customer service, enhanced walk-in humidor and everything. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're safe. I hope if you're listening to this that you're safe. The events that have happened in just 24 hours are just, it's mind-boggling when you think about it. We've got a fire that's over 44,000 acres now, 3% contained. But night before last, it was 6,000 acres, 10% contained.
Yeah,
the next morning,
it was 20,000 acres.
It was 24,000 acres plus, and 6% contained. And then the way it moved yesterday, firemen, Sheriff Basinko, people saying they have never seen a fire operate like that. And, you know, at one point, it seemed like it was going in two different directions, maybe more. As it came toward Redding, thousands of houses have been evacuated. We're going to go through some of the areas here, of course. But, you know, what we'd like to do is please give us a call at 605-4567 and let us know. Let us know that which area you're in, I know that certain areas have, you know, as we followed it on Facebook, I'm not sure what happened to the reporting all the emergency alert systems. I'm not sure how that worked because they weren't, it didn't seem like they were keeping up with the, what was happening. We were hearing things on Facebook, people being evacuated from areas, and they never were coming up on the news. Channel 7, KRCR, went off the air last night. They were evacuated. We have friends out in French Gulch whose home is still safe, and they're out there in the mountains. And we have other friends whose homes are right here on Harlan Drive by the river burnt down. So there's no rhyme or reason when it comes to this. The Shasta Lake City has been ordered to evacuate. The fire is moving in that direction. Yesterday I'm talking to people at Sunset Terrace, which is right there at Bonaventura and 299. And as I was talking to the wife, the husband says, we have to go. The fire's behind us. They left. Other people, Sunset Terrace, left. People evacuated, been evacuated twice in one day, left their home off of 299, came into a place that they thought was safe. Several hours later, here comes the police, said, you've got to get out of here. It is something that people have not ever seen here. I've got a hold of the CAL FIRE, one of their media guys, and they were getting ready to give an update. So they said they'd give us a call early this morning, and I'm not sure if that's it. Jared, there's this. Okay. Sheriff Tom Basinko's on the line. Sheriff, good morning. Sheriff, good morning. You're on.
Hey, good morning. I just heard you broadcast about the city of Shasta Lake. That was not evacuated, and it received an evacuation notice.
Oh, okay.
Due to a little computer glitch.
Another computer glitch?
Well, these are when you do a mouse click, you can designate an area, and if you just go over a little bit, it can spill over into another area. When we're doing these notifications with the computer, and so we gave evacuation notices for the city of Summit City.
Yeah, I know Summit City.
Here at Shasta Lake, but it did not include the city of Shasta Lake. They don't have power there. I just got off the phone with the city manager, but there was confusion there last night. And then I'll be in a little bit with on your 8 o'clock show.
Yeah, if you can come in, if you want to come in early.
That.
If you want to come in earlier, you can do that too.
Yeah, I'm going to a briefing, right, a fire briefing right now.
Okay.
And but there was very fast moving. It was difficult to try and keep up with evacuation notices as fast as this fire was moving last night, and there was a number of firemen injured with flashover that they were injured because the fire was so fast.
Wow.
So fast.
Well, I hope so, prayers for them. I know a bulldozer operator was killed. So
yeah, hundreds of homes and structures lost for our friends and our neighbors. And firefighters just did an outstanding job with what they were doing. So
you know, when you see things like you know, down there in Harlan, we were talking a little bit about it last night, Harlan Drive, right on the river there, and houses burning all along on snow.
The firefighters, a friend of ours that lived down in that area, and you know who I'm talking about, their home is fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and good. I let that person know. But the other homes lost. There was some fire activity down there. And then, but sometimes it looked like a war zone in some of the places that we saw last night.
Well, and I know the Sunset Terrace, all of Sunset Terrace was evacuated. Do you know if any fire hit there?
It did hit there. We didn't get a chance to go through Sunset Terrace, but we know that fire did hit in there, and I think there was some structures lost. But
okay,
it was pretty devastating. So my prayers just go out to those people. And then we're, of course, going to be working on housing and sheltering needs in the near future. There's still a lot of power lines down, very treacherous, burning poles, then trees that can fall over. And so those areas can't be repopulated yet.
Now, right now, the fire is heading towards Shasta Dam in that area, because I see that they've shut down that.
Correct. It was headed in, flanking in two directions, towards Shasta Dam and then southeast for that southern area like Swayze and towards Placer and that area. So it was heading in two different directions. And that's made also the efforts for firefighting very difficult as well.
Do we know what the numbers are of people? Yesterday it was like 1,800?
Last count I had, we had at least 600 homes for evacuation notices and about 2,200 people, but that started growing rapidly as it started encroaching into the city of Reading.
Oh, yeah. I know that School of Arts out there, they were evacuating those areas out there, too.
Excuse me?
The School of the Arts out there in that area, they were evacuating all those neighborhoods. Some of our people that work out there or work here.
And so when we were out doing some surveys, come across people, we loaded them up into our vehicles because they were basically behind the fire lines and kind of entrapped, and so we got them loaded up, a couple of people there. But it was pretty chaotic there for a number of hours.
Well, this is I know you're busy and you're going to join us probably in like 45 minutes. So,
Just want to make that clarification that the city of Shasta Lake is not under evacuation.
Okay, because that's all over the news right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Sheriff. You be careful out there, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Take care.
You bet. Take care. Okay. You know, when something like this happens, you try and keep, going on and as stable as you can on doing certain things. Having the radio station going so we can pass on to people. Yesterday we were in here for another hour passing on reports that were coming in, and then everything kind of slowed down. And then again in yesterday afternoon, it just blew up again. And to see people up, and you're talking Sunset Terrace right off of Eureka, and having those homes up there that have been up there, 50 years up there, and never had fires. And it caught him this time. He said several homes up there were burnt. Again, if you are listening today, and if you've got a story, if you've got an area that you were evacuated out, or if you're safe in those areas, please give us a call, 605-4567. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be back in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
What is summer without our summer concert series? Our summer tribute series will keep you cool all summer long with live music on select Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. A tribute for everyone from rock and roll classics to soul and today's pop charts. Don't miss these amazing performances. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Come out and sing and dance along with your favorite tribute band at the Win River Resort and Casino Event Center this summer. See the next best thing to your favorite artists in an intimate setting. For a complete lineup of our summer concert tribute series, visit WinRiver.com or download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the river.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
My mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
That's right. We're still standing in Redding, in Shasta County, city of Shasta Lake. We're still standing. We're still standing. And we're going to build, rebuild better than it was. Lots of the, you know, a lot of our areas here were not touched, but we're all touched in our hearts from our neighbors and our friends who evacuated. They don't know if their homes are there. And speaking of that is our producer, Bad Bob. Bad Bob, good morning. Bob Belongi.
Yeah, good morning, Carl, and good morning, everyone, all the KCNR family.
So tell us what happened there, buddy.
Well, as you know, I left early yesterday to go out and do some preemptory gathering, getting the go bags ready. We got our boat out. A very gracious friend of ours offered his place in South Redding to put the boat, and also as kind of a refuge for our kitties. We got them gathered up. And then last night when we got back to the house, the power was out and the smoke was extremely heavy and it just kept getting more and more threatening. So even before an evacuation order came through, we decided it was with no power, it was time to get out of Dodge. As we were coming through Redding, coming along Placer, towards trying to get to down here to South Reading, the scene was like one of those movies. It was bumper-to-bumper cars, and we stopped on Olive Street because we had intended to go to a restaurant on Eureka Way. The smoke alarm you hear is the breakfast alarm going off here where I'm at, so I need to step outside.
The smoke alarm, where's it at?
we're safe. We're in South Reading down there near the shopping center in South Reading off along 273.
Okay.
We stopped on Olive Drive, and looking towards Shasta High School, the flame links. Brenda has been, as you know, in the fire business for a very long time.
Yeah.
And she was awestruck by what we saw. The flame links were at least 100 feet leaping into the air. We hope and pray that everybody in those affected areas got out. I do not know, and I have no way of finding out at this point, if my home out there along Chaparral made it or not. I simply don't know, and really right now there's no way to find out. It's just playing the waiting game like so many people, yeah, other people are this morning.
Yeah, we're driving around. We're heading up towards your way to see what we could find out, and we were pushed back by the authorities. And, you know, I don't blame it. I'm not going to argue about it, but I did kept asking questions like, what do you know, what do you know? And he said, well, and we know that some were lost in there, but we don't know how many. Sheriff Pasinka was on earlier and said they, you know, some up in the Sunset Terrace were lost, but he doesn't know how many or any of those things. We have it's remarkable. It was so fast, and the sheriff says it's still moving in two directions. So this isn't over yet.
Yeah,
44,000 acres. Anyway, are you okay and Brenda okay? That's the big thing.
Yes, we have the essentials, and, you know, even if the house is gone, it's a house. It sticks. It's stuck. It can be replaced. We got out with each other and our animals and our essentials, and we were blessed in that. So the rest is just finding out details. The
rest of it is just insurance, buddy. And as long as, you know what, as long as you're safe, your animals are safe, we loaded up cars and everything with art and keepsakes and stuff, and we were blessed. We didn't have to leave, at least not yet. So you take care.
Yeah.
Give Brenda a hug for us. We have some more people wanting to talk about it.
Certainly will, Carl. Thank you.
You bet, buddy. Take care. Okay. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Well, you know what? We are truly blessed, our family is, because we're downtown. And we watched friends, I mean, literally a mile from us, 2 miles, evacuating over in Sunset Terrace. And we were just talking to Bob Belongi, who was like 4 miles, 4 miles from us, evacuated. Doesn't know where if his house is still standing. So we're blessed on this. And if what about you? What happened with the fire here?
Well, I'm worried about my church, which is up on Foothill.
Uh-huh.
Pilgrim, and we're worried about the Episcopal Church. I have tons of friends in the Highlands and on Sunset Terrace. One friend, we evacuated her out. She's at Churn Creek Golf Course with her parents, and my parents lost power out near the college, so we brought them down to Churn Creek where we live, and we're mm-hmm. blessed also. We're just thankful everybody's okay. My friend Spencer Deerdorf and his team at Grace Baptist, texted me this morning. He says they only have one cot left of doing a cot and sleeping bag run. If anybody can get blankets, pillows, or cots to Grace Baptist, that would be so awesome.
And where's Grace Baptist?
And probably food, and you know, if
sure.
they can bring finger foods and yeah. and water there.
Where's
there,
Grace?
You know,
where's Grace Baptist at, Nancy?
It's on Churn Creek, on the south side of Churn Creek.
Okay.
Over near Enterprise High School.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know where it's at. Okay, so they're looking for cots and sleeping bags and food that
pillows,
people can bring
blankets.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, mark it. You know, if you want it back, just make sure you put your name on it and maybe a telephone number. And then, you know, just take it there. If you can get through, I would go in the south side. I would not try and approach from the north.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, on I-5 last night, and traffic, I think, probably is going to be still kind of crazy.
I think it's going to be crazy. We're seeing, it was traffic jams going. Twin View was just a parking lot. Like you said, I-5 is having problems. I'm getting reports coming in over our chat room that propane tanks blowing up along Swayze Drive all night long. The losing of power. They were doing rolling blackouts there, so the power was off, so nobody knew what was happening. So
absolutely, if you're on City of Reading or the north end of PG&E, I think everybody's suffering from that.
I think so. Anyway, Nancy, thank you so much for your phone call.
And, hey, sure, Carl. Be safe.
Oh yeah, you too.
All right.
We've got other reports here Joe says the only thing he had was his cell and the glow on the horizon were their only connections. And we put a photo on last night that from our house. And I'm looking over at Sunset Terrace, and I'm seeing this fire. And, I've been around fires, and the Marines, we fought fires. And we would burn Camp Pendleton down all the time. But we'd have a battalion of our Marines who'd be ready and be trained to go out and help on these things. I don't know if they still do that or not. But the National Guard's on their way up here. The evacuations, just on the ones, the latest ones, and even though that these things change dramatically, let me move it back up here. Okay, as of this morning, as of 2:18 this morning, it was the entire, well, it says the, we know this is not true. The city of Shasta Lake has not been ordered to evacuate. They have not been ordered to evacuate. It says so in the paper. You'll hear it some other places, but Sheriff Pasenko just called in and said a computer error. Shasta Dam Visitor Center has been, though. All of Shasta Dam Boulevard, they're talking about. All of Summit City has been evacuated. They've had Pine Grove Avenue north on Lake Boulevard to Shasta Dam, including Summit City, North Beltline and Flanagan Road, intersection of Placer Road and Bonaventura Boulevard, west to Thompson Lane, Bonaventura Boulevard from Placer Road to West Side Road to Kenyon Drive, including County Heights and West Reading neighborhoods, Bonaventura Boulevard to Highway 299 to Placer Road, Placer Road from Bonaventura Boulevard to Cloverdale Road, and Clear Creek Road west from Cloverdale to Honeybee Road. So these are continuing to come in. Like I said, we're expecting an update from Cal Fire here. They were supposed to be calling a little while ago. They're probably still in their briefings. They were trying to get it signed off a few minutes ago before we came on the air. Also, Sheriff Tom Pasenko will be joining us at 8 o'clock, and I believe he's bringing in a firefighter. And plus, we have Bill Mastin coming in to join us. Bill is a retired fire captain who is one of the instructors of the hot shots and the smoke jumpers and has been fighting these fires a lot. And he's going to talk to us also about what it's like out there fighting the fires. What do they have to do? What are the problems when you have a fire like this? And what makes this fire different than other fires? Because all I've heard from the sheriff and other people in the firefighting business is this thing, they've never seen anything like this before. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Jim from Design Time, your full-service shop. Are you looking for a wood look floor? that is low maintenance and waterproof? Check out our luxury vinyl. Easy to install yourself? Or we have professional installers available. There are many beautiful colors and styles to choose from. So come and visit our showrooms and see for yourself. We are located on Highway 273 just north of Wind River Casino. Don't forget, design time for all your flooring needs.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Redding and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. The 27th of July, 2018. I don't think we're going to be forgetting the what's happened here in the last few days. This will be marked. It's 75 degrees. And, Jared, do you have a quick update on the weather? Because it looks like it's we're going to have another scorcher like 112 today. They're going to continue to it's going to be hot like this throughout the weekend, no precipitation. You know, when you look at, you know, we've had these semi-droughts or droughts for the last 3 or 4 years. It's done nothing but just make a perfect storm in that type of way. I'm here. I've been joined here with retired police captain or police fire captain Bill Mastin. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning.
Guys like you, right? I mean, people love firemen.
Well, they love law enforcement too. So.
Hey, I just heard the bad news of we lost a firefighter last night from running.
The news was carrying it this morning. A Redding firefighter tragically lost his life. We don't know the circumstances yet, but it that makes two.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be out of the ordinary that they find people in some of these burnt homes. That's
I'm sure that
a lot of people that couldn't escape. Yeah, it's obviously a killer. So.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I heard they were bringing in burn victims. And I don't know if this is true. You know what? Here's the thing. Social media is really good for, you know, in getting the word out. But it's also just as bad because it gets the word out that's not true. And then there's little errors, like you push the wrong button or the button, you know, and the computer saying that Shasta, City of Shasta Lake is being evacuated. Well, it's not. Summit City is. But yeah. The city of Shasta Lake's not. Sheriff just told us.
Yeah.
Even though that's what it says everywhere. Anyway, what do you have the weather pulled up there real quick, Jared? Just go through it.
I do. Today we have a red flag warning. It's going to be a high of 110, low of 76. Obviously, it's smoky, so stay indoors if you can. Tomorrow it's going to be hazy and sunny, 110 again with a low of 74. On Sunday we have a high of 110, low of 76. And Monday, a high of 108 with a low of 75.
Okay. The weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane in Anderson. Bill Mastin, this fire is, I know you've talked to a lot of people in this, but this fire seems to be different from listening to firefighters, the sheriff, and others. They're saying this fire is just totally different than anything else they've seen.
Well, Fire moves in just three ways. It's either a weather-driven mm-hmm. fire, which is being pushed by a wind. It's a fuels-driven fire, or it's a topography-driven fire. So you can have combinations of that. I think what we're seeing here is it's combinations, but we have extremely thick, heavy fuel beds that are what we would call contiguous fuel beds. Mm-hmm. They're knit together. There's no different ages. Class stands of fuel, so it doesn't hit light grasses. It's these heavy fuel stands that it's marching through, and it from a firefighter standpoint, it's hard to go up against that. It's hard to stop that much energy. It's just consuming so much. It's just a matter of physics, really.
And I don't want to get into the environmental or political things, but for so long we have not been cutting and clearing these areas out here. They've just been left to grow. And now, are we reaping that right now?
Well, in some areas, I have to give credit to Whiskey Town National Park. They've been doing prescribed fire for years uh-huh. where they'll burn out blocks of heavy fuel. So mm-hmm. As a firefighter, if we can find an area that has a young age class of growth in it, that's where we make our stand.
So you make your stands uh-huh. right
and you'll see the aircraft will try to slow the fire up. On the wildland fire, there's a lot of moving parts, but so that's where we try to make our stand is in those young age class, and we can get in there, cut lines. The dozers can get in and build line. We can fire out from that area and send it back into the heavy growth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the areas that you look out in Keswick and everything, they're just long old stands of brush and, you know, manzanita and digger pines, and it's a tough thing.
Tender, just, I mean, absolutely, manzanita is like the burning bush.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so many of the, you know, the small, narrow, winding roads, you know, long, long driveways that go up to people's houses. And there's also, you know, when all of these things is called an alignment, when they get into alignment, and I live in a steep canyon with thick brush and narrow roads, it becomes a perfect storm of fire.
Okay, now, Bill, take us into, like, your, you know, okay, you've got a team, and you're getting ready to fight something like this. Can you take us through how, you know, what do you tell your guys, how do you do this? You're burning. You're looking out at Keswick, and it's burning.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you've got your team. What would you do then?
We go in. The very first thing we do is have what we call a safety briefing, mm-hmm. is how are we going to exit out of here. We establish what says this is going to be our safe zone. This will be an escape route. This is what we're going to do in here. And engine companies are doing a lot of what we call point protection. So if I was assigned to your block, say, mm-hmm. is I come in, I make sure your house is defendable. If the homeowner's there, we engage them if they haven't left. If they have left, then we try to button the house down, make sure that, you know, the windows are all closed, the combustibles away from the structure. We might even fall a few trees if we think they're going to be a threat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the fire, as it booms through the trees, it blows against the house. If I can take that tree and lay it flat on the ground, it's easier for us to control.
Well, you know, things I've been hearing is because of the amount of pitch in these in the embers. You told me about the it's like charcoal briquettes that is being shot, you know, 2 or 3 miles down the road here.
Yeah.
And if they're sticky and they hit the side of your house or your roof, you've got a problem right there.
Exactly. It's called rollout. Underneath this convection column of energy that's being consumed from the brush, it's full of particulate matter and branches, and we actually had paper falling on our property last night, mm-hmm. pages from a house that had been consumed that was brought up into the atmosphere. Well, as it blows up, it's full of moisture, too, so it starts to ascend up this superheated gas with all this, and it can build this thing called a pyrocumulus cloud. A lot of people think it looks like a thunderhead. If it gets high enough into the atmosphere, it will actually ice cap out. The top of it will freeze because mm-hmm. of the altitude. And then if it collapses from the weight of this pyrocumulus cloud, and then all bets are off, then it just goes berserk.
Okay, so what we're talking about, we've got 44,000 acres on fire here.
Correct.
Tremendous heat.
Mm-hmm.
What would the heat be in something like this?
Oh, it'll go up to 2,000 degrees.
Okay, 2,000 degrees. And then it forms its own weather, frankly. I mean, does it form wind and all this? But now you're saying that when it goes up in the cloud, and we've all seen that cloud go up here. We've seen it mm-hmm. around here.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to a certain height when it gets that high. And if it collapses, I mean, it just spreads out everywhere.
Yeah, it blows out the bottom of the cloud, and then the winds will go directional. It's pretty impressive to see Mother Nature do that. Really, it's just raw power. And there's a thing called a rate of spread (ROS) or a spotting factor that this mm-hmm. this rollout from underneath these clouds are starting numerous spot fires all over. So. You can't get in front of it. It's spotting, you know, blocks ahead of you, maybe all the way up to half a mile ahead of you.
It could be okay. Now, years ago, and we've talked about it here on the show, I was talking to a Sierra Pacific forester from Berkeley. And she said, you know, with the way the practices are here in California, with, you know, we're not clear cutting, we're not going in there, and clearing out a lot of this stuff. She said it's very dangerous for our firefighters. Just because of what you said, it moves so fast and it's so hot that they're going to have to fight it a different way. And she said you're going to see more and more and more of the air attacks, of having to have to fight it from the air because you've got to get so far away from it to be able to build your brakes.
Well, the strategy, you know.
I mean, I don't know if that was true, but it sounded reasonable.
Yeah, aircraft, the tankers are doing this effort called indirect. So that red retardant that they're dropping, it's usually on ridge lines.
Uh-huh.
And you still need the ground troops in there to cut line around it, either bulldozers or hose lines or crews to go in there. It's just to check the fire up. It doesn't extinguish it. So you still need boots on the ground to get in there. So they're just trying to hold the fire up and check it so the ground troops can get in. Aircraft, the rotor wing, the helicopters, they're actually doing direct attack. So they're mm-hmm. knocking it down so we can push our way further in and further in. As they knock that fire down from the air with the helicopters, then it gives us more breathing room to get in and protect either structures or try to put a line in the dirt to cut the fuels away to stop the fire and contain it.
Well, you know, this is the second a bulldozer driver was uh-huh. killed. And also we lost one of our own here, one of our Reading firefighters last night. But this is the second bulldozer operator I've heard that's been killed. One of them had it turned over, but this time, from what I understand, you said that he was just caught up in the fire.
The dozer operators, they're out there, you know, they're kind of a they don't get a lot of credit that because people don't see them. They're like this droid inside of this this primal beast that's marching through the forest. That and they do the same thing we do. They have an escape route. They have a safe zone. But when things are going sideways, even your very, very best intent, you can get caught. And Mother Nature, I mean, you look at what happened with Yarnell and Granite Mountain and the loss of life there.
The movie was on last night. And I caught the last, again, caught the last 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
When those guys, these guys are experts, and they went down to, you know, to a ranch on their escape route.
Yeah, yeah.
And it caught them. Caught them right there in the brush.
Yeah, and that was caused by a thundercell that came over and it created this thing called an outflow boundary, which is when, you know, a thundercell creates this havoc on a fire because you can have an indraft, you can have an outdraft, the wind blowing at your back, the next thing is blown in your face. So, and it just makes the fire behavior just squirrely. You know, usually we just pull back to the safe zone and ride it out.
And just watch it. Well, you know, we're going to have to take a break here. I'm here with retired fire captain Bill Mastin. He's an instructor for our local firefighters. He's an instructor for the hot shots, the smoke jumpers. Lots of time here, and he's a good friend. I called him last night and said, would you, or yesterday at some point, and said, would you like to be on today? Because I knew there was going to be a lot of stuff happening. And he texted me last night, where are you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a good question to ask your friends. Where are you? Are you safe? And that's the big thing. Are you safe? Because if you got out, family got out, you got your animals out and all this, you know, everything else pretty much could be replaced.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back.
Careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
Summertime is fun time in Northern California. We're Billy and Patrick with your personal invitation to have more fun in a brand new Kia from Redding Kia, your official summertime fun headquarters.
Celebrate this summer with no payments for 90 days in a new 2018 Kia Niro. This sporty 50 mile per gallon crossover hatchback hybrid is showing up everywhere in NorCal.
I've got one. I love it.
And nothing says summer like the 2018 Kia Soul. That's the cool crossover that sits up nice and high, has tons of storage. And like all Kias, it's America's best value. We have a Soul, and it's perfect.
The 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento is here. There's room for your camping gear. It has power for towing and is at home on or off-road.
Get yours today and make no payments until fall.
No cost. Lifetime oil changes and tire rotations are yours when you take home your new Kia from Redding Kia, proud sponsor of community events like the Mosquito Serenade.
Finance offer on approval of credit ends 8/10/2018. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me, only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's
been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with a full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here. Free Fire Radio. I don't know. Maybe we're changing our name here. 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 27th of July 2018. 73 degrees right now, going up to 112 today. Bill Mastin and I are here, and of course we're discussing the Car Fire. But on the line we have Deputy Chief Scott McClain from Cal Fire. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today, Chief.
Thank you for having me.
I talked to you earlier today. You said that, you know, you had an update that was just, I think, passed to a lot of people. What's the latest on our situation up here?
Well, let's start with the stats. We're looking at, as we figure it would happen, 44,450 acres currently burned. Containment went down to 3%. So that's pretty much the dynamics that we're looking at right now. You just mentioned the weather in the low 70s. I was out on the line about 2 hours ago, just got in, and it was about 79 degrees where I was parking in the city of Redding where the fire had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit of moisture in the air. The fire wasn't as aggressive in that particular area, but in several other areas it was and burning quite well. Firefighters are able to get in a little closer in those areas of less intensity, so they're working extremely hard and consistent.
The how many people do we have fighting this fire?
Just right around 2,000.
Okay, and we heard that a firefighter died last night from Redding.
Yes, a Redding firefighter did pass. We're not sure exactly when, but in the course of yesterday evening.
What would you tell our citizens here? I mean, are the fire coming back toward Redding again?
At this point in time, it seems to be staying where it was late last night. Don't be complacent. Things can definitely happen like we saw yesterday into the evening. I drove that area on Harlan Road, I believe it was.
Yes.
And just looking at the destruction as far as some sort of weather pattern went through there, uprooted trees, knocked very large trees over onto homes, a lot of branches laying in the roadway. And these are on structures that were not touched by fire. Driving further in down that street to the west, I came across several destroyed homes. So it just shows you the intensity of the fire and the weather.
Did you drive all the way to the end of that road, Chief?
Not all the way to the end of Harlan, no.
Okay, and the reason I ask is because we have friends that have a house at the very end of Harlan, and I was talking to him, say, hey, where are you all? And just then it came on the news, and shit, Harlan Drive burning. So I was just wondering.
It's interesting how, you know, it wasn't like a large swath of homes destroyed like on the Coffee Park and the Tubbs Fire. This was more of a pocket here, a pocket there.
It's almost like a tornado setting down and then picking itself up and setting down again.
Right, and that's what we believe could take place.
Okay. Any other things that our listeners need to know, Chief?
Do not be complacent. We have a long way to go. We need everybody's you know, everybody to be responsible if there's going to be more evacuations. Not to say there are at this time. We need to make sure folks are, you know, ready to go, have their go bags, whatever they need to do, be ready.
How long do you think of a fire like this, since it's 3% contained, is this something that's going to last for another week, 10 days?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Chief. Thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
I appreciate the help. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Bye. Okay, just to kind of reiterate what the Deputy Chief said from CAL FIRE, 44,000, over 44,000 acres done or burning or burnt already. It's still going. Around 2,000 firefighters. I don't, you know, when you get into 2,000 firefighters, it's just a number of trucks and bulldozers and aircraft. Yes, you know, they had 10 aircraft fighting it yesterday. I can't help but think there's probably going to be pushing more on that. That don't get complacent, even though it's burning out toward Shasta, that it can turn around and come. It has not leaped I-5 yet, but it has jumped the river, yeah. I mean, several places. And the other thing, of course, on that is he said driving down Harlan Drive, which is, what, 2 miles from here, looked like, it looked like a weather front had come through there. And, Bill, you were talking about that.
Yeah, sometimes just from the release of the energy, it creates this thing called a fire NATO. It's this, like you'd see a dust devil driving out the 5 in Bakersfield.
Sure.
Except it's superheated air, and it's a tornado of fire. It's pretty spectacular to see, and it will uproot trees. It will rip brush out of the ground as it spins through different areas.
Wow! So it's just like a tornado, then.
Exactly, but it's a tornado of fire, and it's not unusual for a lot of the column to take on a kind of a cyclonic turn as the energy is released, and as the thermal column, this convective column's going up, sometimes it will start to spin just like a tornado.
I had a question here about whether it's crowning or just running through the undergrowth, and you said both.
Well, a neighborhood can get hit, so it actually hit multiple times. If the fire's crowning through the top of the trees, it's blasting across the top of the trees, and they think, well, that's it. But then comes the second wave behind it, and it might even come from a different direction, is then the understory, what they call ladder fuels or the ground fuels, can burn too. So you might get hit two or three times in a neighborhood if you've got lots of forest canopy around you. Now, a lot of the, if you look at the digger pines, the stuff up out of Swayze, there's a lot of high canopy, so it could blow through the top, crown through that, and then right behind it would be another front of fire that's burning the medium brush or the light brush.
Manzanita, and digger pines, are they good burners?
Oh, yeah, heavy sap.
Heavy sap.
You know, this stage of the year, most trees are sapped up, you know, because they're trying to protect themselves, waiting for the winter rains to come. And we do. I mean, as the chief states, we have a fire behavior specialist, and they do a thing called fuel sticks. You know, what's the moisture and there's a 10,000-hour fuel, a 1,000-hour fuel. And we gauge a lot of how it's going to burn, predictability of the burn pattern based on fuel types and what their fuel moisture is.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's their job, and they'll go out in the field and test, you know, different plant species and say, hey, listen, it's gonna burn hot, it's gonna burn fast. The RH relative humidity is down, the temperature's up, you might have a soft wind push, because usually every day, you know, you know this where you live off of Placer, is usually about 3:30 in the afternoon, you get a different wind.
Yeah. And, you know, and the other thing, too, Ben, we got to take a break here for the news. I just saw the sheriff. He's rolling in, too. Is that what he said is it's such a science. I mean, fighting fires is not just, you know, hooking the horses up and racing to the fire anymore. I mean, this has become such a science. And I mean, just the things you're talking about and how you fight the fires. You know, it's a battle. We talked during the break. I mean, it's fighting the fires like fighting a fast moving battle.
Yep. No, absolutely.
With, in a place where you have grunts on the ground, but you've got to be mobile too to move back and forth and to be able to meet the threat and the logistics of it. Wow. Hey, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back. Bill Mastin is with me, and we also have Sheriff Tom Basinko.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Annual growth of over 3%, and it could be substantially over 3%.
Mr. Trump also cheering a $52 billion drop in the trade deficit April through June. The president saying that's very encouraging.
Because we've been ripped off by the world.
The latest GDP figure, the best quarterly showing since the third quarter of 2014. A solemn ceremony at a South Korean military base where the remains of what are believed to be 55 American soldiers killed in the Korean War have been transferred to U.S. officials. President Trump thanking North Korea for turning over the remains.
Nearly 70 years later,
they're coming back to the United States.
President Trump speaking of the remains that were airlifted out of North Korea. At the White House, he expressed his appreciation to Chairman Kim Jong-un
for fulfilling a promise that he made to me.
The president said these incredible American heroes will soon lay at rest on sacred American soil. Greg Clugston, Washington.
More evacuations ordered as a devastating wildfire rages in and around the Northern California city of Redding. Fire officials say dozens of homes have burned, although conditions make it impossible to determine an accurate count, and the number could climb much higher, they say. A bulldozer operator on the fire lines was killed, and three firefighters suffered burns. Stocks are mixed on Wall Street right now. The Dow is up about 10 points, while the NASDAQ is down 40. The S&P, 4.5 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire your stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been a professional trader for over 25 years. I've traded for Goldman Sachs and was the first Amazon market maker at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I'm also the CEO here at Prosper Trading Academy, the leading educational firm teaching people how to trade the markets. For a limited time, I'm giving away one of my favorite secret trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. To learn this technique right now, call my 24/7 voicemail and just leave your email address. I'll email you my free trading technique right away. Just call 1-800-228-2155. This is the very information my students use every day to invest in their financial future. Again, call 1-800-228-2155 in the next 30 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. That's 1-800-228-2155. Call 1-800-228-2155.
The party of Pakistan's former prime minister says it will not boycott the new parliament despite reservations over the results of this week's general election.
After initially rejecting the election result, Nawaz Sharif's party now says it's ready to sit in the opposition. A senior leader of the party said it would respect the mandate given to the party of the former cricketer Imran Khan for the sake of democracy. Results declared so far show Mr. Khan's party is leading the count with more than 110 seats.
That's the BBC's Amr Barasan Etharajan reporting. Israel's military searching the West Bank village of a Palestinian teen who broke into a settlement home and stabbed three Israelis, including one who later died of his wounds. The military says it has detained four Palestinians for questioning and set up security inspections at entrances to the assailant's village north of Jerusalem. 17-year-old attacker shot and killed at the scene. News and analysis. Townhall.com. General Motors facing some tough decisions.
Analysts say with too many factories making slow-selling cars, GM can't afford to keep them all operating. And a possible scenario is to close its Lordstown plant in northeastern Ohio, because the compact car it makes is also built in Mexico. The factory's already lost two of its three shifts and 3,000 union jobs since the beginning of last year. But moving the Chevy Cruze south could come with a threatened presidential tariff of 25% on vehicles imported from Canada and Mexico. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Authorities in Colorado Springs managed to free a bear and got caught in a storm drain for about an hour. Wildlife officials came up with a plan. They harassed the bear by firing a non-lethal rubber slug, while utility workers opened a manhole. The bear, estimated to be around 250 pounds, climbed out and was chased away. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Linda is at the house with all of our stuff packed just in case the evacuation order tells us to come and the dog and all those things. So she's there. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. The news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. The weather, what's the weather look like for today? We'll go through it. Well, here, just pull it and then give it right back.
All right. It's currently 73 degrees today. We have a red flag warning. Obviously, it's going to be smoky, so stay indoors if you can. We have a high today of 110, a low of 76. Tomorrow, we have a high of 110, a low of 74. On Sunday, a high of 110, a low of 76. And on Monday, we have a high of 108 and a low of 75.
Okay. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. They're down in Anderson, but I tell you what, I'm sure that if he's got trucks that can help, he's got them out someplace right now. We're here, of course. My co-host today is retired fire captain Bill Mastin, who has been an instructor around here for a lot of the firefighters. He's been talking to us in generalities about the fires themselves and fighting the fires, the fuel, and what happens when you have a fast-moving fire with a lot of energy, and it's so destructive. But and now we're joined by Sheriff Tom Basinkle. And, Sheriff, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning.
Been a lot of information passed, some good, some confusing, and we're going to get all that fixed. And then we've got Cheryl Bulovac. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Bulovac, and that's Austrian. That's, good morning from CAL FIRE. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
First of all, thank both of you. You know, we appreciate so much you all out there. We know that we lost a firefighter last night from Redding, and another one, I believe, it was a bulldozer operator.
On tractor,
during this fight, too.
Anyway. We had several firefighters injured as well in a flashover. I know that three were treated here locally and went to UC Davis Burn Center. And then, Cheryl, I don't know about the other two. Did you have any information on them?
I don't have any updated information on them.
These men and women are out there putting their lives on the line, fighting the fires. I saw last night I was riding around with our Shasta County Fire Chief and CAL FIRE Chief, and these folks have been up for days. You can see it on their faces. They're tired. Sometimes they get down emotionally, too, because sometimes the fire's winning. And you see their faces perk up. Hey, you guys are doing an awesome job. And then somebody says, hey, somebody just drove by and gave us 10 pizzas. And that really means a lot when they hear a thank you. You're doing a great job. Thanks for working and doing what you're doing. So that makes a big difference. Or they see the signs out there. Thank you, firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
That helps them emotionally.
It does.
We have nothing but the highest respect for our law enforcement, as you know here. And our firefighters out there, our first responders. Cheryl, tell us a little bit. Can you give us the latest update? Deputy chief, 44,400 acres, 2,000 firefighters out there. What else?
About 3% containment. You know, we've had a lot of questions. How does the containment keep going down? Well, you've seen our acreage increase dramatically.
Exponentially?
Yes.
How does it go from 6,000 acres? This is the one I didn't really get a chance to ask Bill, but I'm asking you. How does it go from 6,000 acres when you go to bed that night, going on 6,000, the next morning it's over 24,000?
We had what typically happens when we have these high triple digits here in the valley, mm-hmm. and those cooler temperatures on the coast, mm-hmm. the hot air pulls that cooler air in, and we get those high winds, and they had some extremely high windy conditions that pushed that fire that night, and it was on both sides of the road. It was coming down fast, and it was to the point where we were doing what we needed to do to get everyone out safely, and that's the priority. To heed those evacuation orders, be prepared, and if you feel like you're in a concerned situation and an order has not been issued, be prudent and go.
And just leave.
That is huge. You know, Cheryl was talking about the winds, and those were yesterday, I think, 15 miles an hour with 30-mile-an-hour gusts, and that's just the normal weather condition. And then you add to it the fire activity, the fire winds that you could get going, and that can increase there. And that really pushes that fire really fast, and that's how you get these problems. And then with the evacuations, we have people that refuse to leave. We were on a road last night. A couple of people were there. They said, no, we're staying. And the fire folks I was with, they were worried that we would not get out of there, and they would refuse. And then the firefighters risked their lives to go in and do a rescue if something happens because of these individuals. And it's very, very frustrating for us.
Yeah. The wind picked up like that. And one of the things that Bill's been talking about today is the amount of undergrowth we have, and it's contiguous and it's old. And once it starts, there's no place to kind of like get in between to break.
Right, right. And on top of that, we've had hot, dry, windy conditions, which dries out those fuels. We're seeing fire behavior right now here in July that we don't typically see until late August, early September. And that extreme fire behavior makes it extremely dangerous. It puts it to the point where our firefighters are out there looking at life safety evacuations as the priority.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and that is the priority. So
yeah, we have our men and women from law enforcement out doing the evacuations. We work very, very closely with CAL FIRE, and we try to be out ahead of the fire enough to give enough notifications. Just because the fire isn't knocking on your back door doesn't mean that you're not in danger. And so we're out there. We take these evacuation orders very seriously. We don't take them lightly before we issue them. And it's a matter of life. And sometimes people do not heed our warning.
They don't believe it. They end up
dying. And we've had deaths related to it. Not in this fire. Well,
We know of yet.
That we know of yet. That's correct.
We had friends on Harlan Drive that she left. I was talking to her. But her husband and son said, you know what, we're staying. A policeman came to their house, came into the house, get out. Yes, sir, hopped in their trucks and left. So there are people that are out there that are trying to do this.
We hear that all the time, where half of the family's left and the other half stays behind.
Yeah.
And then people are concerned, power's lost, they can't make contact, and it becomes obviously a very scary situation for both parties because they can't stay in touch, whereas if they would have just listened to the order and left.
We were ready to go last night, even though that we had not been told that, nobody said where we were. I mean, you know where we live off of.
Yeah.
I can see the jail from my backyard. In fact, every so often I hit a golf ball at it.
Yeah.
And in fact, sometimes I just go by and wave at them.
I'm wondering where those came from.
Yeah. But it didn't come to us, but it 2 miles away. And that, Sunset Terrace.
And sometimes people say, well, it's 2 miles away. That 2 miles,
is fast.
It can be very, very fast.
This fire spotted a mile and a half out in front of itself. And with these fuels being so receptive to burning.
Tell people what that means when it's spotted outside.
So when we have these winds that are pushing this fire, causing it to grow rapidly, these firebrands are carried by that wind. When these high winds are pushing those firebrands, you can see them go out in front of the fire well in excess of a mile, which is what we've seen with this fire. And then that little spot fire gets established and continues to burn as the main head of the fire is coming towards it.
Mm-hmm.
When you've already got the spot fire established and it burns right into it, you've just added that energy to the head of the fire and increased its ability and its momentum.
During the Jones Fire, that was a number of years ago, I was at a fire evacuation center, and the person next to me was one of the board of supervisors, and the fire jumped Highway 44, and his cell phone rang almost immediately and said, hey, I have a spot fire at my house. And we were able to put it out with a backhoe. He had a piece of equipment. His house was 5 miles ahead of the main fire. My house was about a couple miles away from him. So I made the phone call, hey, we need to be evacuating, and got my family rounded up and out of there.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, can we talk a little bit, too, about the evacuation?
Yes, and we need to do that, but let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about that. How the evacuations are going, that I heard you on the phone a couple minutes ago, so we can expand on that one. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Carl Bott here, of course, with my co-host, retired fire captain Bill Mastin, who's come in today, and, of course, Sheriff Tom Basinko, and Cheryl
Bulovac.
I'll get it here. It's kind of like Boulevard, except it's Bulovac.
No problem.
Bulovac. Okay, we'll be right back.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
I'm passing.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Welcome back. It's a sad day because of the fires, but it's also kind of a joyous day because people have been, you know, been saved. They've been they're safe in so many places, but this battle is just starting. It's been going on now since Wednesday. It started at 6,000 acres, which is a lot, But then it exploded, as we've heard today, and because of the winds that came in and just pushed it so fast that they were trying to get the firefighting teams out of the way so they wouldn't get burnt. It has gone, surprisingly, it turned and came into Redding last night, and is now heading towards Shasta Dam. However, you cannot rely on that. And we're here with my co-host, retired fire captain Bill Mastin. And we're here with Sheriff Tom Basenko and CAL FIRE Cheryl Bulovac, who has given us, from CAL FIRE, given us updates. The question was how come we don't see any media coverage showing the fires from the sky? Well, there's a good reason for that, Cheryl.
There is. You've probably heard the slogan, if you fly, we can't. Unmanned aircraft, also known as drones, have presented a very, very big problem for us on many fires throughout the last few years. When they come into our airspace where we're using our aircraft and fighting fires, it becomes very dangerous not only to the personnel that are on the firefighting aircraft, but to the personnel working below and the public. And we have to ground our aircraft if that occurs. So we can't have that happening. We've also had extremely smoky conditions, and when we have that clearing and we can get our aircraft in there to support the ground troops and use retardant and water drops on that fire, we use it, and we use it aggressively. So we can't have, you know, media airships or drones in that airspace.
And this has been a problem before.
Absolutely.
In firefighting. And we use drones a lot in combat with a lot of flying. And our thing was Big Sky Little Drone. However, it's different in civilian world, and the fact is that we knew where our drones were, and in the military, and but here they could be. I mean, they're so easy; they could be hundreds of them up there. And then what do you do when you've got helicopters fighting us, you know, trying to fight a fire and doing the big drops?
And air tankers and aerial supervision and countless ground troops, evacuations going on. Absolutely, it's extremely dangerous.
Evacuations. Let's talk about that.
You bet. So when a fire breaks out and it looks like it's endangering homes, we're notified right away by CAL FIRE, and we're already responding to the scene. And then our folks get with the incident commander, which is a battalion chief at the time, and they're calling in more resources as we do evacuations. As these fires grow, we work closely with an incident command team or the local command team that is handling it. These can be very fluid situations for evacuations based on the fire activity. It is a fast-moving fire. We try and get out way ahead of it to give those notifications. And sometimes people say, hey, is this area being evacuated? No, it's not. But it can change within a few minutes. And it's not incorrect information. It's just that based on fire behavior. Sometimes social media, people get ahead of themselves and saying, hey, this area is being evacuated. And it causes confusion. Our communicators with Code Red putting out reverse 911. We do some mouse clicks, and it can be in an area. It's easy to go expand that area ever so slightly with just a slight move of the hand, and it can spill over into other areas. But we'd rather have people evacuating than staying and not getting that notification. So these aren't 100% when we're saying evacuate a certain area. They can incorporate bigger areas.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, the fire behavior changes and we have to evacuate.
So having something in your ear on, you know, your ear on the side of caution on some things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about social media right now. I just put out on the Facebook, Sheriff Basenko and CAL FIRE Cheryl Bulovac live.
Right.
On here, giving us updates. Now, that is a helpful thing, I believe. But we get other things that I'm seeing stuff way before it comes out from official sources. People hop on this on Facebook, good or bad?
Social media is a double-edged sword. It's a wonderful tool for us to get information out to the masses very quickly. And when it's coming from an official source, then it's a good thing. When we have people speculating or starting rumors, then it's not such a good thing, and it can be very detrimental to us.
And we try and confirm when we're doing the evacuations, we're working closely with CAL FIRE, and they're trying to confirm the fire behavior, where it's headed, so that we can do the evacuations and start mapping them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get some confirmation of what is going on. We just don't go out and do them willy-nilly and trying to do it. We have to get the mapping and get some confirmation. And the men and women that are fighting the fire and are out there, boots on the ground or aerial support from CAL FIRE, gives us the intelligence reports to the CAL FIRE managers of what's going on and what evacuations should occur out ahead of the fire.
I liken this fires to combat, and I've spent a long time in the Marine Corps in combat, that we had also, in my last tour, we had ability for our troops to talk to home or be in contact with home all the way. Good. Bad. Good because they could talk to their loved ones. Bad because the plumbing broke down. Mm. Or we had an incident where somebody would get hurt, and before they could clamp down, and we would clamp down on the communication, somebody sent it home, and it runs through the battalion. And so, then it, of course, grows.
Like,
so
it's the public information officers. They're working closely with officers and staff from the sheriff's office on making sure that we have accurate information, and it's the same information being put out. Is it 100% accurate every time? No. We do have mistakes that occur.
Sure.
And the other thing, too, is like when you're trying to do that evacuation, some of these roads we're trying to push in strike teams. So these strike teams, a Type 1 engine's about 30, 34,000 pounds. We're trying to get into these neighborhoods. So then we get into this gridlock situation because these people are not exiting the way law enforcement was trying to prompt them at. So now we're at loggerheads on these roads where we're trying to get in and they're trying to get out. And
well, you know, that is a huge safety concern, and that's why we want the evacuations ahead of time. The fire apparatus comes in. It's huge, whether it be a fire truck or now you're bringing in a semi with a bulldozer on it, and on a regular county road or city road, that'll take up the whole area, and then a situation can occur where people can't get out, the truck can turn around, and that could be lives in danger right there. And that's why we ask people to be ready with their stuff. And then if they want to leave ahead of time, great. And then when we give those evacuation orders, please leave. And because when the fire apparatus is coming in, it makes their job a lot more difficult. Or if there's hose across the road, it can cause the hoses to break, can cause a big surge of water that can injure a firefighter. There's a lot of issues going on when there's fire occurring and people are trying to drive around in that area.
Okay, we got a caller on our phone, a long-time listener, Jimmy.
Hey, Carl Huck. Hey, I don't mean to sound like melodramatic or whatever, but should some of the people in town worry about maybe bears or mountain lions being flushed into town? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Jimmy. That's not a bad question.
That's a fair question.
It is.
The wildlife, we were out last night and watching a lot of deer being pushed out ahead of the fire. They were trying to escape as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so wildlife is no different. They're trying to get out. So you could see anything from small rodents to bears, mountain lions, whatever the wildlife is in the area. So that's a possibility.
Now, last night as we were packing up, a Great Dane, largest dog I've seen in a long time, is standing outside on my sidewalk. I've never seen this dog before, which reminds me to tell everybody, you know, some people have left and they left their animals, or those animals are scared. Like our dog's been acting strange for 3 days because, you know, it knows something's going on. It smells the smoke and all this. And this, so people are, you know, their dogs are, you know, may just disappear. So.
And that's one of the things that can happen. They can get out, and that's not the owner's fault. But making sure that your animals are secured, that's part of the preparation process, making sure that your animals are prepared to be cared for as well, have their crates or their carriers, at least 3 days' worth of food and water, make sure if they're on any type of medications, just as you would for yourself, that those are ready to go and taken as well. If you have livestock, if you have larger animals, have that trailer hooked up, ready to go. Train your animal well in advance so that it's comfortable and used to getting in and being loaded, so that it's not a frantic, last-minute, difficult situation when the time is.
And that makes it very difficult for us with the large animals. Some people do have large animals and then don't have
trailers
to transport
them. They don't have trailers.
And that can be huge. Or when you're going around trying to get people loaded up and the cat gets out, and that makes it very difficult.
Here's the other thing, if I can just mention this to people, because I've had rescues before. Your horse
doesn't want to go in a trailer. It has not been trained to go into a trailer. Trying to get a 1,200-pound animal into a trailer that doesn't want to, I mean, it gets nasty, and it gets nasty quick, and people may not like it, but if you want to keep your animal, we'll get them in, unless it's too much. Let me leave it out. Now, I understand it's down at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. They have moved from there from keeping animals, that they've moved to another location. Did you hear that?
I've not had that information yet, but that will come out of our briefing area.
That's the kind of things that, you know, that just kind of like, boom, it comes out someplace.
Well, Reading Rodeo Association is gracious enough to open up their grounds there for it. And then, of course, with this fire moving into the city of Reading, they were concerned. They do have a little bit of a brush behind the arenas and stuff. They want the animals to be safe. And so I'm sure they probably move them. Haven Humane is another big partner that we have that assists us in the county with evacuations and housing of animals as well.
You know, the problem is, unfortunately, that the people out there trying to help, they're in the middle of having to evacuate their homes. And then they go back to helping, not knowing if their homes are still there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about it still hasn't jumped 5. What's the chances of that happening? You know, best guess here. I understand that. It went across the river real quick. You know, and what happens if it jumps the 5, if that happens. Also, looting, Sheriff. When we get back from this break.
You bet. I'll talk about the law enforcement response that we have for preventative measures on that.
Great. Okay, we'll be right back.
Discover Health. Join us in this celebration of wellness and preventative health care. The annual Reading Rancheria Health Fair event is on August 1st from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Everyone is invited to this free event. All ages welcome. Special activities for the kids. Vendors will be located in Wind River Resort Casino's Event Center and the Reading Rancheria Community Center. Come and enjoy this exciting day filled with free health screenings, information on living a healthier lifestyle, crafting vendors, and much more, including blood pressure, body fat analysis, body mass index, cholesterol, diabetes pre-screen, and more. For details on this free event, log on to WinRiver.com. Contact Olivia Brady at 530-226-1734 or Jasmine Romero at 530-339-7462. Head down to Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino on Wednesday, August 1st, and check out yet another great health fair this year. Brought to you by Reading Rancheria Tribal Health Center, Reading Rancheria, and Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
Hi, I'm Jim from Design Time. Looking for a new laminate for your home or office that's waterproof? Yes, you heard me, waterproof. This takes the worry of your floor being destroyed by water out of the picture. Just ask our professional staff at Design Time about this new exciting product. Visit our showrooms on Highway 273 just north of Wind River Casino. Don't forget, Design Time for all your flooring needs.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new vines, new products, new briar pipes, and, of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hit the road, Jack. Yeah, no. You can come back after the evacuations. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. 25 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. It's 75 degrees. It's probably hotter than that now, going up to 110. You don't have to worry about the sun getting in your eyes because it's covered by smoke right now here in downtown Redding and all around us up here in Northern California. We've had this 44,000-acre fire that's still raging out there. We're 3% contained. Every time you get another 2 or 3%, it leaps again. So I'm joined here by my co-host, retired fire captain Bill Mastin. And Bill's been a fountain of information. And then Sheriff Tom Basinko has come in. You know, Tom, I so much appreciate this, and I know the listeners do and the public does. You didn't get to bed at 4 o'clock last night.
Morning. And the previous day, probably got up about 5 o'clock.
And but frankly, you smell pretty smoky. I mean, you do. I mean,
I like
the
fire, Carl.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. But no, there's a man that's been out in the fires, and he's coming in. And then, of course, Cheryl Bulovac, who is from Cal Fire, and she said, I just threw my uniform in the washing machine and took it out and put it on again, so it's damp. And so she's in here giving us updates. So I had two questions. One, every time you have a disaster like this, the vermin come out, and you get into this looting.
You're talking about two-legged.
Two-legged vermin.
Yes. It's a possibility. We have patrol operations in our evacuation areas just for that, looking for people that maybe didn't evacuate or somehow get back in, and then they're looking for an opportunity to steal stuff. We have law enforcement officers from the North State helping us out. And that includes agencies, you know, California Highway Patrol, Red Bluff Police Department, Corning Police Department, Chico, Anderson, Redding, Lassen County's here, Trinity County, Siskiyou County. The list goes on, and we put out a law enforcement mutual aid for us to help, and we're out there 24/7 in the evacuation areas. We've also arrived.
I saw civilians manning the traffic.
Those are usually public works folks that help us, and they usually have a law enforcement officer there,
CHP
or somebody else there.
It's an all hands on deck.
CHP is calling officers in from other regions as well for support because it's a 24/7 operation until we get it contained and extinguished. You will also be seeing the California National Guard arriving today. We're going to have two companies coming in to assist us with either evacuation, roadblocks. They bring in a lot of resources that can help us out, and we'll be calling them. They'll be arriving today. I was on the phone with staff yesterday making those arrangements.
Okay, so, but there's been no reports of it or nothing, you know, nothing.
We have not had reports of looting. We always get the rumors of, and people are worried about that too, and we certainly realize that when they're leaving their homes, and we have the patrols on duty. I was out yesterday contacting some of the officers, making sure they were getting out into some of the outlying areas. And for evacuations, just because sometimes the fire does not appear to be in a particular area, we keep those evacuation notices up and the road closures up as well because there's still danger there. We have lots and lots of power lines down. We have lots of power poles that have been burned or partially burned, and then they can fall and cause harm. We have trees that are burned and partially burned, and they can fall over easily. So we have to go through, or we don't. Cal Fire, Pacific Gas and Electric, our utility companies here in City of Redding, have to go through and clear those areas to ensure that they're safe and try and get some of the infrastructure back up, the wires, so they get power
and
back
before
on.
People can go
before
back
we
in
get
there.
People yeah. back in. We got want it. To repopulate
could, so
it.
In other words, this could take at least a week for some people to get back.
If, oh, easily if,
at least a week. Now, and that Cheryl, when it comes because we talked about the fire, and I said, you know, and personally, I've got people coming in here next week. What are we looking at? And you said,
well, even after the fire passes through, that doesn't mean it's done. We still need to go in there, and as the sheriff said, the repairs to the infrastructure, county roads, all of those kinds of things. In addition to the firefighters need to mop that up. We need to make sure that those smokes are extinguished. Those smokes that are around structures won't flare up. We have to be confident that this fire is out and safe for people to go back in before we can allow that.
So the safety, each of the agencies have safety officers. Cal Fire has safety officers. PG&E has safety officers. They come in and make an assessment of the area. Is it safe to open it back up for the public to come back in and repopulate? Mm-hmm. And then we work again with Cal Fire on the repopulation. It's just not drop the green flag and everybody gets to rush in. We try and do it in stages.
In a measured way.
In a sure. measured way, exactly, for the safety of everybody. But the main thing is the firefighters and the law enforcement safety and the public, when they're coming back in, we don't want trees falling. We don't want the power lines falling or the power poles falling and causing injury or death.
Sure. Cheryl, I've seen some aircraft out. How many aircraft do we have fighting this fire?
We have the aircraft ready to go. We have to have the opportunity to fly it and use it.
Okay.
So what we have to have is what we call clean air so that they can go in and make those drops. We have helicopters working in one area, air tankers working in another area. It's a coordinated effort when we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have those resources ready to go.
But
we've
grounded
had
right
these,
now.
We've had these extremely smoky conditions. Mm-hmm. Our normal, typical local factors, we have that inversion in the morning. Well, that inversion's coming in, and it's holding that smoke in. Typically, we see that start lifting, you know, late morning, early afternoon. The sun comes out, starts warming things up. We get a little clearing. We can get that in there. We're not going to have those opportunities here in the next few days. It is because of the weather pattern that's predicted. We're going to have extremely smoky conditions. So every opportunity that we have with that clean air to get that aircraft in, we are going to use it, and we're going to use it aggressively. Unfortunately, we just don't have the crystal ball to know for sure when that moment is going to be.
Would you say this is kind of like a perfect storm type of thing with the weather, the weather the way it's been, and the 4 years of low rain, all the underbrush, everything? Is this kind of like, wow?
And that's kind of one of those terms that's used that we in the fire service is kind of cringe. But
yeah.
But yeah, actually, in this particular fire, the way that everything's lined up, when you consider all of the factors that go into a fire burning, when you talk about fuels, when we talk about weather, when we talk about the topography, it's all been in perfect alignment. The temperatures being the weather, what we've seen with the hot in the valley, extreme conditions, the low humidities. We've got that wind coming in. We've got these alignments with the drainages. We're watching that fire make the push towards the north, towards the dam. That's very similar to what we saw in 2008 after the lightning series, the Motion Fire, if you recall that. Very, very similar fire behavior. Back where it started in the area of French Gulch, the footprint of what the old French Fire, a big historical fire here in our local area, burned very, very similar. So this is very typical for the historical fires that have burned previously in that footprint. And again, it's just all the alignment is there.
You know, just got bigger. What if it gets the Shasta Dam? I mean, Shasta Dam's okay. I mean, I would think.
Well, it's a big concrete structure.
Yeah,
there's still trees and stuff.
Tremendous amount of vegetation all around it.
Exactly, and there's still a lot of power lines, and so that can also
power lines from the dam.
Well,
that's right.
But that can also impede air operations too, depending on if they can make an airdrop there or not, and of course the danger of the fire lines. You know, Cheryl, you spoke about air operations and having clean air. Sometimes the air operations can't get going immediately with daylight because of a little bit of inversion and that just smoke being trapped down here until we get a little bit of change in the weather.
She was talking about.
What about spotters
for that, for aircraft?
Well, it's called an air tactical group supervisor. So what she's saying is they'll push them out. They're usually in the OB-10. Is they'll go out there and make an initial assessment because they want to hit it hard, and then they'll triage. We're going to put the fixed wing and the rotor wing in to do the best bang for the buck.
What about an on-the-ground spotter? You know, that you've got teams out there, and they're they're like directing them in like we do for close air support.
And that's what we were talking about with having our safety officers, our branch directors, our division group supervisors. They're the ones that are all feeding this critical information back to the operations and the incident commander so that these decisions are made. Now, back when this fire started back on Monday, and we were handling this as an initial attack, local type 3 capacity, we have an outstanding working relationship with our cooperating agencies. And like the sheriff was saying, it's a very fluid, we all know each other.
It's a fluid situation.
It is. We have each other's contacts. We're embedded with each other, as these things evolve, because they can happen very quickly, especially when we have these conditions, to make those decisions and get the information out.
Cheryl talks about it happening very quickly.
Yeah.
Remember, as you said, the fire was at 6,000 acres, and then it blew up to 24,000. That means it's overnight. Moving very fast. And some people say, hey, why didn't you give us more notice? This fire behavior has changed, and it is out there. And one thing for the air operations, we talked on the break, Cheryl, is about drones. You want to cover that?
Just let me ask one question. When you all use terms, us people not in the service, you said it's condition 3 or type 3?
A type 3 is when you're handling it in the local unit. We have pre-designated personnel that are specially trained in those specific areas that are working together to support the fire. And in that local capacity, when we're able to do it here in this unit, we have been very successful in being able to handle that on the local unit. When the fire gets to the point where the local unit needs to be assisted, we will activate what we call an incident management team, which is a type 1 team, which is currently in place, incident management team 1. We actually are very fortunate. The incident commander for that team is Chief Brett Gavea, who is my deputy chief for here in Shasta Trinity Unit. So not only was he the duty chief during the week and thoroughly involved in this fire, but then he took it as the incident commander for this incident management team that's come in to support the unit. So not only do they need to do that, but with the logistical support, with all of the other factors that go on with supporting over 2,000 firefighters that are working on this fire.
Yeah, this is like fighting a battle. We talked about this. You know, I mean, this is a logistical battle just like it is. Now, by the way, we're skipping the break, Jared, so just write down which ones we're jumping. When you have this type of fire, what would you say, I mean, what's the worst level fire you run into? And what would that be?
The type 1 team.
Type 1 team.
But if she's on a type 3 team, they're usually absorbed into the type 1 team.
Right,
because, like she said, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Right. So on a local unit, we're embedded in with the incident management team that comes in. We have the local knowledge. We work here. This is our backyard. And so it makes it very seamless so that we're able to provide that local information and those contacts for the team when they come in.
The reason I was looking down is that I've got some information rolling through here that they said these were Marin County firefighters. They were up here fighting that two of them got injured during this. Was two of the ones. I don't know if you all have that. This thing just came out of said Marin County firefighters have been injured while protecting structures here. Two were treated and released in Reading. One has been transferred at UC Davis. But that's what we'd
put that out that they had been injured, and I do know that they were being treated locally and then transferred away.
Okay, you know, Tom, these evacuations we're doing, you know, you've made it clear. I think we made it clear, but I think we maybe reiterate it just a little bit. You get an evacuation order, you take off you take off in the direction that they want you to go. Because if you wait, and then, well, here come the firefighters and the big trucks and all their equipment to save your structures and to save your area there. Now they meet you coming the other way.
And when they send in, we do the evacuations ahead of time, and then working with fire operations, they're sending in strike teams. These are big engines, and they come in a convoy. Usually, like we've been in the neighborhoods, and you might see 20 engines coming in, and they're dispersing out in the neighborhood to do structure protection. And these are the professionals that are firefighters. Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for. When you get 10, 20 trucks rolling in, even just one truck coming in for structure protection, you meet them on a narrow road, that's causing problems. And they need that space, and we've seen the engines parking in driveways for that protection. ahead of the fire to try and save structures.
And we're talking big vehicles here. Now, Cheryl, what should people be looking for here in the next? I know this. I want some predictive information here, okay? Predictive intel.
I'll do my best.
Okay. What are we going to be looking at here in the next 4 days? I'll go for 24 hours, and then you can push it from there. What's the next 24 hours?
We're going to be challenged. We're getting hit with the same information every single day. We're going to have the low humidities. We're going to have the extremely hot temperatures. We've got these red flag warnings. It's, you know, very, very active fire behavior. So we're very concerned, and we need people to be paying attention. We need them to stay in tune with confirmed good sources of information so they can sign up to get the fire updates at tinyurl.com/carfire, and we'll get that for you to put up.
Tiny?
Uh-huh.
Tiny URL?
It's a contact thing.
Can you give it to
them
again, Cheryl? Because this is really important.
Yeah,
it is the official site.
It is very important.
Write this down on this, and we're going to put it out everywhere.
So it's tinyurl.com/carfire.
Okay.
And that's where people can go to sign up. They will receive all of the updated information. Another thing, Code Red is an outstanding resource on Shascom's website to sign up to receive notifications of evacuations. A lot of folks anymore don't have a landline, so a reverse 911 is not going to reach them. If they sign up for Code Red with their cellular device, they'll receive notifications and will know immediately if something has been activated.
Okay, now we're not restricted by time today because we're just going to keep going. You know, I know you all probably are going to have to run, but we're going to keep going. But I've got some questions here from some of our listeners.
And there is an evacuation center out at Shasta College,
right.
And then also there is some confusion. We're trying to get that ironed out as well with Cross.
What
it is? Go ahead, Cheryl.
So the information that I have, and I was in contact with the Red Cross coordinator this morning, and it is confirmed information. We have a total of 3 evacuation centers right now.
Okay.
There's one at the Weaverville Elementary School.
Right.
We have one at Shasta College, and then there's one at the Cross Point Church. So last night, around 3 a.m., at the height of supporting evacuees at the college, they saw about 562 evacuees.
Wow.
So that's good news to us because that tells us that people are listening and they're getting out and they're going.
Okay. Normally, it's a very low population of the evacuation center.
Also, I think people are scared. I think it got everybody's attention when they saw it.
Also, at the evacuation center proper inside, you cannot bring animals, pets, dogs.
Right.
Those can stay in the parking lot but can't be inside the evacuation center.
Okay. Now, do we have places where people can drop off food and clothing and that yet? I know the Red Cross.
We haven't gotten. I don't know if the Red Cross is doing. We haven't got information on that.
One of the collection points is Members First Bank on Hilltop.
Where? At? Members First Bank on Hilltop.
On Hilltop, yes, and that's one of the collection points for the evacuees. Red Cross is normally the one that absorbs those donations as well.
Well, we're going to be staying on. We're going to be calling people, you know, as we're going to be in and out. But we're going to be calling people to get more information.
We don't have a structure count yet. Structures can include a shop. It can include a home. But there are, and we haven't done what we call a windshield survey yet because it was chaos last night. But we know that there are hundreds and hundreds of structures that were lost, and there will be people in need here, and Reading is a very giving community. So some of our friends and neighbors lost everything.
Our thoughts and prayers go to the Berhoop family. They're just one of them down on Harlan Drive when we were just talking about it. Let's go to the phones. I know there's some questions here. Terry, you got a question for the sheriff or for Cheryl?
Well, it's kind of good news. I went to Wind River Mini Mart to get some gas, and as I pulled in there, I drove over. It was about a half a mile once you hit East Side Road.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back from there, I saw 60 vehicles. Looked like the cavalry. Praying the whole time, thanking God for those folks. There were 6 crummies. There were multiple fire engines. All kinds of... it was nice to see them driving up Highway 273.
Coming into the
heading,
fight.
North... to the north on 273, but it was good to see all the vehicles coming in. So it really looks like we're really mobilizing, and that's exciting.
You know, Cal Fire orders up resources based on the need in our area, and this was in our area. Last night, there were engines rolling in, coming in from surrounding states, even Nevada. I saw some engines from Nevada and throughout California.
Okay, Terry, and that's just a testament to the mutual aid system.
I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. Terry, thanks a lot for that.
You bet.
Okay, Dr. Danuka. Dr. Danuka, good morning.
Hello, Carl.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Faris Danuka, Dr. Danuka.
Yeah.
I am out of the area, but I'm trying to return back. But I wanted to let you and your listeners know that I've instructed Pulse Urgent Care Center to accept any and any patient, irrespective of their insurance or any payment. If they cannot pay, do not worry about it. If you have any minor injury, urgent care needs, you can go to Pulse Urgent Care. They will try to do whatever they can. Of course, if it's a major injury or major illness, then you have to go to the ER. But for anything minor, do not worry about the payment or insurance. You can go to Pulse Urgent Care.
You know, Dr. Danuka, Paiush, that doesn't surprise me a bit that you said that. So everybody will pass that along. If you've got injuries, not major injuries, it's going to take emergency room stuff, head to a Pulse Urgent Care clinics, and don't worry about it if you don't have insurance. They're there to take care of it and help our community.
Right. I'm out of town. I'm on the other coast right now, so I'm trying to get back. They will do whatever they can. They also have some employees who are affected. My own family actually had to evacuate our house. We don't know what the situation is, but everyone is safe. We have a skeleton crew, so people may have to wait or be patient, but we want to make sure that everyone who needs the care gets the care at this time, please.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, the one I know is on Cypress. You've got one of your clinics on Cypress, and the other one is on at the...
That's only one.
Okay.
100
okay. 100
East Cypress.
All right.
100 East Cypress is right off the river.
Right next to Cornerstone Bank.
Right next to Cornerstone Bank, correct.
Okay. Hey, Paiush, thank you so much, doctor. You know what thank that is? You know, that's just you. You're so thoughtful and caring.
Well, I love the city. I'm so so sad to know right now. I'm trying to get back, and I'll try to do more when I come.
Well, you be safe. Be safe. We're fighting it
thank
out
you.
Here.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you,
all right. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
You know, this is the kind of city that we have here. You know that? I mean, this is the kind of place that, we've burnt, but we're going to come back. It's going to be like Phoenix.
You know, another friend of the community, and everybody knows him, is Ed Ruhlman with C.R. Gibbs Best Western. And he was texting me last night. He said, hey, if you need evacuees, need...
Hey, buddy, we need to take that one off.
If somebody needs to come to my C.R. Gibbs, needs something for cooling off, or you need evacuees to come in, we have some conference rooms for temporarily offering that up. He goes, what can we do for some food? So great offering that up from another local business as well. Ed was just texting me and wanted to get some fire information. I was going to send that URL to him as well about tinyurl dot
com
slash forward slash car fire, all one word.
Now, and plus we've got some other things too we're going to be telling people about, but we've got more people calling in, of course, with these things. Other place from the hearth was offering up also offering up food. The like you said though, if you're out there and you see the firefighters and you just happen to have four or five pizzas, they'll be appreciated.
Yep.
You know what? You don't have to have anything other than some kind words.
Well,
you know
that's
that
true.
Goes so
that's true.
A smile,
oh, yeah.
Some kind words that goes so far. This season so far, I mean, we're in a year-round fire season anymore. There's no break in the winter like it used to be, and folks have been on the road. They've been away from their families. They've been working hard in very difficult conditions. And just a smile and kind words go so far.
You know, Cheryl, you've seen it much, much more than I have. But oftentimes at these big fire-based camps, they put up sheets of plywood and they put up the cards, the letters, just saying thank you, firefighters, coming from kids too.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the firefighters huddled around those notices, reading them, and that means a lot to them.
We have another caller on the line. Carolyn, do you have a question for Cheryl or the sheriff or Bill?
Probably sheriff. I've got family and friends calling and that have evacuated, and they're calling to find out, should they come back to Redding yet, or should they just stay away?
I don't know where they live in Redding, so it's hard to say. If they were evacuated...
In the evacuation area, Swayze.
That area is not cleared yet. They wouldn't have any place to go because we have not opened that back up yet. And so,
and what about off Placer, like off Placer Magnolia?
That's in town, right? Not too far from you, Carl.
We were not evacuated.
That was not evacuated off of Magnolia, so that would be clear. So it depends, and that's where you could go to either getting the fire update, looking at the CAL FIRE Facebook page, Sheriff's Office Facebook page, web pages as well for those evacuation areas. We'll be posting information when we open back up areas, but I know that none of those areas are open back up yet because of safety purposes.
Kind of what I thought. I thought they should probably just stay, if they're already evacuated,
If they're out of danger, stay there for at least, plan on at least another 48 hours. At least that. Okay. Tell them that.